Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour on Hawk and Crowder, brought to you by our good friends at Funky Buddha. Good vibes on tap. I think I might be going to Funky Buddha tonight for a little dinner. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'll see Ryan there. Hopefully not. I'd rather see Casey.
Get the yucatats, get some hummus. They've got all types of sandwiches and meals and burgers and sliders and everything there at Funky Buddha. It's great.
Looking forward to the bison wings.
Yes. Bison wings. Bison burgers.
Hopefully they have boneless.
Oh, goodness. Here we go.
But I'm probably going to go with the smash burger. Get a little flight. Smash burger. I'm not a big tot guy. I know, as you said, the tots are prime there. But, I'm just not really a tot guy.
Hey,
quick, this hour, we have Chris Whittingham of CBS Sports and MLS on Apple TV. He'll join us to talk the new hire by the U.S. men's national team and some Inter Miami with some other stuff. My wife, during the commercial break, doing the show from home today, showed me a new release of hats that just came out. And I just tweeted this out at Josh Appel on Twitter. Shameless plug. I think we can say it at this point. Upside down font on hats. Jump the shark. I love a rope hat. And there was a nice evolution of the hat. But now I have to do some extra work to try and read upside down font on all these hats. Give me a break. How about you write it in the regular font so I don't have to contort my head to try and read what your hat says? How about that? I'm done with the upside down font hat. Now, I say that, and if you see me at a Panthers game this year, there's a pretty good chance you'll find me with a hat that has upside down font. But that's neither here nor there. On Friday, August 16th at 5:10 p.m., I am against, flatly against, hats with upside down font. Hard to read. Don't want it. Don't like it. We got headlines with Dan Day coming up in just a moment. Thanks to Adam Beasley for joining us in the last segment, talking some Dolphins football. Again, Chris Whittingham will be with us in the next segment to close out the show to talk some MLS, talk some U.S. men's national team, and maybe get his thoughts on hats that have upside-down font on them. Now, I mentioned earlier, last hour, that I went to lunch with the host of this radio program, Mark Hochman. And he's done this before where he will reach across my plate and onto my plate with his fingers and pick up a boneless wing off my plate. Now, today, at least he had the courtesy to ask me before he reached onto my plate with his stubby fingers, grimy and dirty, to grab food off my plate. But the first time he didn't. So at least we made some progress in that regard. But as barbaric as I may be, I would never resort to my bare hands on somebody else's plate, unless they gave me permission, and grab it with a fork. And he didn't do it again. Again, the only difference this time is he asked for permission, and it was the final bing on the plate. But I would imagine that most people, even if they had the wonderful privilege of going to eat with Mark Hochman, they don't even want him reaching on his plate. Jimmy, if Hawk reached onto your plate with his bare hand and picked up a delectable boneless wing off your plate, what would you think?
Well, he's done it before with when I ordered mozzarella sticks at Dave & Buster's. So he's done it before. Mm. It's not the first time. But yeah, I wouldn't like it. I'll probably smack his hand.
Slap his hand. Exactly. I wasn't quick enough on my feet or my hands, I guess. Dan?
He's paying for the meal, right?
Yes.
Oh, that makes it complicated, though. It's not that easy.
Does it?
Yeah, it does,
now,
man.
I did do the thing at the time. I didn't know he was going to pay for the meal. When the check came, I did do the thing where I take out my money clip and I take out my card and I make him do the, I got it. Right? Because regardless, you have to at least fake like you're going to take out the
card. I was
going to
say, you ever been burned like, no, I got this, and you think the other person's going to pay, and then they're like, oh, okay, and you're like, oh no.
I wasn't expecting to pay for this $250 meal. Don't worry, that's not.
I've done that for $350. Oh, goodness gracious. Whoa.
Have you done credit card roulette?
Mm-mm, no, I've never done that.
Oh, what? It is invigorating.
So is it almost like Russian? It's like Russian roulette with a credit card. Like it's a big meal, and everybody puts their card, and whichever one gets the unluck of the draw.
Basically, the server picks which card it's all going to go on.
Okay, yeah, whoo,
yeah,
that's a rush.
It's painful. It's a rush, but it's painful if you lose.
Risky.
Much like Russian roulette.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Russian roulette with a credit card. Yeah, I've done that too, where like record labels have come in for town, and everybody knows record labels pay for food and drinks, and I've gotten like drinks for everybody, and they'll come to like $75, and I'll be like, or $75, not here in Miami, but other places, like $75, $85. I'll be like, yeah, just put it on whatever, Berserk Records. And they're like, they don't have a card. And I'm like, I just bought $75 worth of drinks for everybody. Congratulations. And then Berserk comes in and is like, oh, yeah, we forgot to put our credit card down, man. If you need anything, let me go put it in real quick. I'm like, oh. But no, when someone grabs food off my plate, I usually just go, hey. And then they're like, I just wanted a fry. I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. But you know me, man. I'm real skinny, so food doesn't really get to me too much.
I mean, ask first.
No. It's Hawk. He's going to take.
Well, that's
true. He will take.
That's the thing. And there's also this power imbalance that he has.
He's doing that on purpose, yeah.
Yeah. What am I going to? If I turn him down, I might not get another fill-in host opportunity if he doesn't take the bing off my plate with his bare hand.
You got to tread lightly with food.
Dan Day, let's get to our headlines here in the 5 o'clock hour before we get to Chris Whittingham in the next segment.
And they're brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Speaking of Witty, Coach Tata Martino admits Inter Miami doesn't know when Lionel Messi will return from that ankle injury. Inter Miami, though, they have a little bit of time off after losing to the Columbus Crew in the knockout rounds of League's Cup. They don't play this Saturday, but the next, when they host the team with the second highest amount of points in MLS, right behind them, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'll ask Witty about this, but hugely embarrassing. Inter Miami couldn't go back-to-back in their prestigious run to win the League's Cup. The worst trophy I've ever seen.
Interesting take that you've ever seen. There could be worse out there. It's just never seen it.
That's the worst trophy that exists. There can't be one worse in sports.
Roderick Munoz takes the mound. He's the starting pitcher for the Marlins tonight as they face the Mets at around 7 o'clock.
Marlins playing spoiler. right around 500 balls since the All-Star break. Xavier Edwards hitting close to 360. Jake Berger, most home runs in baseball since the All-Star break. Hey, team grinds it out. Kind of fun to watch.
I don't want to get too deep into it. Max Meyer, you know, I've got Max Meyer mania. Started the season really good. They kind of sent him down to the minors to protect his arm. He has not been the same since he's come back from the minors. Is it just kind of trying to knock some rust off?
I think that his line in his last start does not do justice for how well he pitched in that game. He pitched into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And I thought he was some of the best that he's looked since he's been a Marlin. Just, I don't think it's indicative of how well he pitched in that.
Dolphins, they're going to host the Washington Commanders tomorrow at 7. There are some talk that Tua Tagovailoa could get some go in the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I would imagine it won't be anything more than a series or two. And we'll keep an update. We'll keep a look at the backup quarterback battle that is apparently going on.
Don't get too deep into that. But we got some other NFL games on tomorrow night. We had one last night. The Eagles did defeat the Patriots 14-13. None tonight. Bunch of games tomorrow. One that you might want to keep an eye on. 7:30 tomorrow night. Dolphins' next opponent after the Commanders, the Tampa Bay Bucks, going to be facing Miami's Week 1 regular season opponent, the Jaguars. So that's 7:30 again tomorrow night. And the Hurricanes defensive end sophomore Reuben Bain, he's garnered a lot of preseason awards, but says the focus is on the big picture as the team prepares Week 1, August 31st, against Florida in Gainesville. I know you're excited about this South Florida, University of South Florida game, which I have already said I am very nervous about for the Miami Hurricanes.
As you should be. Brown, he might tear apart that defense. Now, Cam Ward might do whatever he wants against USF's defense. But don't sleep on Alex Golish, Byron Brown, and the Bulls. I'm telling you, don't sleep on them.
I'll be honest why I'm not sleeping on them, because you have to go across the state. Maybe you're kind of taking it for granted a little bit. USF would really, really like to put that on their mantle, that they put it on Miami. So, and they're obviously a very talented team. They've got fertile recruiting grounds. So I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm not sleeping on USF. It makes me a little bit nervous, and I'm scared if they do lose that we'll hear from you on Monday.
You might hear from me regardless, because when USF covered the spread against Alabama last year, 37.5-17, they won that game. All I want to say here, you don't just walk into Raymond James Stadium and expect to leave with a victory. Alabama, 17-3. That was the quote-unquote score. The real score was 37.5-17, and USF won that game. I'm just saying, you don't just walk in there and leave with a win.
So Jaden Daniels with 5 touchdowns in the red zone against the Dolphins in practice. Is that, what's the score of that one?
That's unimportant.
Who's keeping track after all?
Yeah. 1-7-3. Who cares?
Raymond James Stadium. That's where preseason week 3, like I said, it's going to be Dolphins Bucks. They can't just go in there expecting to get that preseason W. That's what you said.
The stakes just slightly different.
But seriously, that is a game that I am worried about for the Miami Hurricanes. It seems like it's a tricky wicket, as they would say.
Yeah, I just hope they don't treat these games before that as look-aheads. They've circled the Bulls on the schedule.
Are you going to it?
No, we have. I'm pretty sure the Marlins are at home that weekend, so I'm here.
You're like me. I always talk a big game, and everyone's like, "You're going?" I'm like, "I gotta work, man. You know, I can't take off work."
I looked into going. I just have a conflict. I can't go.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, I'm all about going. It's just always got something coming up. So that's it. And the NBA released their full season schedule yesterday. The Heat, they're going to open at home Wednesday, October 23rd, against the Orlando Magic. So that one should be fun. On to weather from the Nemesman and Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. It is going to remain rainy and overcast throughout the evening throughout most of South Florida. That's your weather.
Chris Whittingham of CBS Sports and MLS on Apple TV will join us next on the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Ooh, he kicked the hell out that one. Goal!
Hock and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I mean, what a guest we have here in the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour. Joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. It's Chris Whittingham of CBS Sports Golasso and MLS on Apple TV. Whitty, hello. It's great to see your face.
Time of our lives. Look at us doing a little segment on the radio. Incredible.
Time of our lives. I think the last time I had you on a show while I was filling in for Hawk, you flushed the toilet on one of my questions. So let's
correct. Roll. I was calling in from, I think, the Admirals Club at LAX, I think was the last time that I was on the program.
We get it. You're wealthy. I mean, the Admirals.
Wealthy.
I just travel
a lot. I get some perks every once in a while because I was probably on 90 flights last year. So I get some perks every now and again.
We got you. All right. The reason I'm having you on here, big news, United States men's national team. But before we get to that, in the last segment, I had mentioned that I had come to the conclusion that hats with upside down font have jumped the shark. You have a great head of hair, so I know you don't do hats a lot, but too much effort for me to read your hat if it's upside down font. And everybody's coming out with an iteration of upside down font.
I am completely unaware of this. Upside down font, meaning like whatever the message or the logo is, it's upside down? Or
that's right.
Really? That's a thing?
Yeah, I think Brooks Koepka was the one who first made it popular a couple years ago.
Interesting. No, I have no knowledge of anything that's going on in the hat world because I don't wear hats.
Yeah, you have a great hat.
I wear a hat maybe 3 times a year, I would say, under.
Whitty's been on the air for 2 minutes, and he's bragged about how wealthy he is and how great of a head of hair he has. Really making yourself welcome and relatable here.
But, okay, there are people that have good heads of hair that don't wear hats, or that do wear hats. They you know, will make it, if anything, it accents. I just don't like the feel of a hat, the way that it scratches against my head. I have very, like, kind of prickly hair, and so it's very irritating to wear, and so I don't like wearing hats at all. They're very uncomfortable, and I am much happier when the hair is gelled in particular. Every once in a while, I go gel-less, but I don't like that either because then I start, like, scratching at it.
Grow up.
It's always irritated unless the gel is in.
Grow up.
Speaking
of growing up, that doesn't matter why. Just grow up. Hawk today at lunch, I was telling this story earlier as well. Second straight time at this establishment where he's reached barehanded onto my plate and grabbed a boneless wing. Now, if Hawk did that to you, how would you react?
I wouldn't react at all, other than, okay, you want a piece of my food? Why did you say barehanded? If he had, like, wrapped his hand in a fencing glove, would that have been better to grab your food off your plate? I mean, it is abrupt, but I don't think it would really bother me that much.
I think he's using the power imbalance between him and I to his advantage.
Why is there a power imbalance?
Yeah, that just is. There just is.
I don't think there's a power imbalance. I think if you wanted to reach over and grab food off his plate, you could do that too. It's really more for the shock and awe more than for the power imbalance.
Well, he had chili, so it wouldn't be conducive to reaching into his.
Although I mean, honestly, that would be an even greater power move. You grab a spoon, or even with your bare hand, just scoop it in with your bare hand, not even bother with utensils and just reach in there and grab some food.
Now, what I'm leaving out is he got a basket of fries as his side. And when I finished mine, I was just going to town on the French fries that he ordered for himself. So
you do reach a point in a meal when all fries become community fries. Mm, I would say it's like over under 16 and a half minutes into a meal when you can tell that person's not finishing the fries. And so they need some help, particularly if there are a lot of fries left on that plate. They're not finishing the fries. You can dig in a little bit. So, and although you would never stop having fries at any point.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
You would describe everyone's fries.
Correct. That's right. You've known me for well over a decade at this point, and it's a move I've gone
since
to the
well. Since you were like 15 years old, you would just reach in and grab fries without any shame. It's really a character flaw of yours.
I think it's part of my charm.
That's what people say when they have character flaws. Oh, you know, it's part of my charm. You know, have you ever heard this one? Oh, Josh is Josh. Josh is Josh. Like, that's your way of saying that person's got some character flaws that need fixing.
Yeah, but I don't think I have character flaws. I think I'm perfect. All right. So Chris Whittingham of CBS Sports Golasso and MLS on Apple TV joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Whitty, let's get to some very serious business. In the massive amounts of prep I did for this interview, I learned how to pronounce the name of the new manager for the United States national team. They made their long-awaited hire unofficially yesterday. Mauricio Pochettino is the hire. Number one, what do you think of my pronunciation? And number two, what do you think of the hire?
Flawless pronunciation on your part. Very well done. You did your research and it paid off. I really like this hire. And I think if you're not a hardcore soccer fan, you might not know necessarily who this is, but any soccer fan worth their salt will know the work that he did with Tottenham, the work that he did with Chelsea this past year. They finished in sixth, which was a surprise, but by the end of the season, they're playing really good soccer. They were the third best team in the league over the course of the last 14 games and is generally regarded as one of the best managers in Europe, which is the pinnacle of the sport. We were kind of going through it yesterday. He's probably somewhere between a top 7 and top 20 manager in world soccer. That's a pretty good resume to get to be in charge of the U.S. men's national team, who, for me, are probably a top 20 national team and the best club jobs by nature of the fact that you get to work for 10 months a year as opposed to 2 months a year are better than the best international jobs. They have gotten someone who, for me, is massively overqualified to be the U.S. men's national team coach. And it speaks to, I think, what a lot of people view as the opportunity of the United States, Canada, and Mexico hosting the World Cup in 2 years' time, which is that World Cup, if the U.S. do well in it, have a chance to be all-time legendary figures in the history of the sport in this country and can create something of a boom moment for the sport in this country. I think a lot of people have been impatient with the growth of soccer in the U.S., and people have been told for 50-plus years since the dawn of the NASL, soccer's coming, soccer's coming, soccer's going to be a big sport, and each home World Cup is a massive opportunity to grow on that. And I think Pochettino, if he was sold on something, it would be you have a chance to lift the sport in the country in a way that no other manager has before, in a way that no other group of people had before. You can be the face of it. And now he is going to be the face of it because he's going to have to sell the sport to the country as much as he's going to have to sell his team to this country.
What does he bring to this program that Greg Berhalter did not?
A depth of experience, I would say. I actually don't think that the soccer is going to be massively different. If I was to maybe say from a tactical point of view, I would just say a higher tempo, a higher press, a higher emphasis on getting the ball moving and moving it quickly. But really, it is about the depth of experience. He was a manager in Spain for a few years, then got promoted to, I think what some people were surprised to see him get a job at Southampton in the Premier League. He did really well with them. He did really well with Tottenham. And if you look at the decade from 2010 to 2019, his biggest hallmark was development of players. You look at the players that he coached. Harry Kane went from a guy who had scored 3 Premier League goals the season before he took over to his first 21-goal season, and he's become one of the best goal scorers in the world over the last 10 years. And that was not inevitable. This is a guy who went through a lot of struggles in the early stages of his career. Pochettino gave him a platform to start scoring goals, and he has not stopped since. And you look at all the players that he worked with, Dele Alli at Tottenham, Son Heung-min at Tottenham last year, Cole Palmer, who was the best goal scorer in the Premier League last year with 23 goals to go with 11 assists. The number of players that got better under his tutelage is astounding over the course of the last 10 to 15 years. So you're looking at a generation of American players that are really good and need to take that next step, both on an individual and on a collective basis. And Pochettino has the opportunity to lift them to do that.
You've listed quite an extensive resume for him, but I've seen some pushback on him specifically in his resume, pointing to the fact that he's had a lot of chances to win and really hasn't gotten all that much accomplished as far as winning trophies goes. Would everything that you just said be your pushback to that talking point? Or is it a valid?
Yes, and also I think you have to consider his longest spell of his career was with Tottenham Hotspur, who before he took over were not a club that even really made Champions League very often, meaning you finish in the top four of the Premier League. So the fact that he had them consistently, I think he finished second once, third twice, and fourth in a fourth season, he really lifted their results beyond their expectations and beyond their previous results to the point where they now set a standard of being a top team. All this while not being one of the top spending teams. Because realistically, in European soccer, your results are kind of dependent on how much money you spend. And Tottenham were not one of the top spending teams while he was there. He was consistently overachieving, getting them to the Champions League final, coming from behind in a massive semifinal against Ajax where they were 2-0 down and they got 3 goals in the final 20 minutes and got into a Champions League final, which they lost to Liverpool. Over the last 3 years, maybe you can levy that criticism a bit more. He was at PSG for a year and a half. At PSG, you are far and away the best team in the French league. He should have won it the first season. He did win it the second season, could have won more trophies domestically. And always the thing with PSG was they never won the Champions League, which is the top competition in Europe for clubs. And that while having Mbappe, Neymar, and Lionel Messi all at the same time, which in theory is an easy job. You just roll the balls out and they all go and score goals, but has turned out to be a very difficult job, which not many people could really do. So I don't really fault him for not winning more at PSG because it's a very hard club to win at. And then this past season at Chelsea, they spend a ton of money, but it's not really a team that makes a ton of sense. The last 3 managers that they've had have not really been able to put it together. So in my opinion, it's not necessarily a great criticism because if you look at the context in which he was operating, I'm not certain he could have been expected to win a ton more. But yeah, you can file that really against any, oh, what has he ever won? Unless they're Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho or, you know, some of these guys that get to manage at the highest level and get to coach the biggest teams because they have the highest budgets and they have all the pedigree. And so they just go and win every year.
I was reading today, and I don't know if it's been solved since then, but you mentioned Chelsea. Is there some kind of financial holdup with Chelsea and the United States national program making this hire official? Some sort of contractual obligation on Chelsea's end? Can you just elaborate on that and explain exactly what is going on there and if it's a significant hurdle they got to jump?
I don't think so. I was actually just watching the NBC Premier League coverage, and they had an insider on named David Ornstein who kind of helped broke the story for The Athletic. And he was saying that basically there is this language where if another top-level Premier League team were to come in for him, Chelsea would have to pay, or they would have to pay Chelsea £5 million. But that won't happen unless it's another top-level Premier League team. So basically it is just figuring out from a contractual level when he can take this job, all the legal stuff. But I don't think it'll be a real hurdle. I think the salary is certainly going to be an interesting one just in terms of how they structure deals. There's kind of this indication that maybe it's not just going to be pure cash, but kind of setting you up with marketing deals, maybe some of the big U.S. soccer sponsors, because the U.S. Soccer Federation, for as much as they're going out and making a big hire here and recognizing the opportunity of hosting the World Cup, are not cash rich right now. They were cash rich about 8 years ago, and then they've gotten embroiled in a lot of lawsuits, particularly the equal pay lawsuit that eventually has seen the U.S. women's national team be paid on par with the U.S. men's national team. So I do think that there is a certain amount of need to figure out financial solutions for the U.S. Soccer Federation, because they are not the richest organization in the world. They can't just throw money around. They're clearly going big here because they recognize an opportunity, because they see that they're hosting the World Cup in 2 years, and let's go for it. Let's really make a big hire like we did on the women's side. The U.S. women's team just won Olympic gold because they hired Emma Hayes, who is a much better manager than the one they had before, and they're clearly going to try and do the same thing with the U.S. men's program now.
All I'm hearing is that the United States men's national team will be winning the World Cup when they host it next. Last thing on this, and then I want to get to Inter Miami before we have to take a break. I love doing this, and I know you hate it because you've told me before. But can you give me like the equivalent of what hiring Pochettino is to something from the four major sports here?
Interesting. I think it's sort of like
Paul Maurice getting hired by the Panthers.
That's a terrible example, because the Florida Panthers were doing great. They were had the best results in the league, and you're trying to take a step forward from there. So no, I don't think so. It's hard because in American sports, you have this capacity to very quickly turn around results. It would sort of be like if, you know, a middle of the, like a seven seed in the NBA, I don't know, the Chicago Bulls from last season hired Greg Popovich. No, I guess maybe Eric Spoelstra is a better example. If the Chicago Bulls last year hired Eric Spoelstra and said, all right, we're not going to change the roster much, but with your coaching alone, we're going to try and really get every single drop out of this team, then that's kind of the idea. And even to the point of how hard it is to climb into the upper echelons of that league. So it's kind of a middle tier team saying, we're going to try and make the difference with coaching and player development, like Oklahoma City did, going from being a middle of the road team. But it's so hard to make that leap in international soccer. Never mind if you're a more established country. There's like seven or eight countries that have won the World Cup ever. And in this last Euros, you look at the knockout rounds, it's all the teams that have won it before. It's the Netherlands, it's Spain, it's France, it's England. It's so hard to crack the top levels of international soccer. And for a U.S. team that right now don't have a group of players that are as good as those best teams, you're trying to make up the gap with coaching and playing at home. And hopefully they can get, it can get you somewhere farther than you have before. But that still is a pretty monumental hurdle.
Somebody texted in that they miss you and you're a mensch, aside from your New York Rangers trash, which it is trash, and your sideswipe at Stanley Cup champion Paul Maurice was uncalled for. It was so dismissive.
But I don't think it was dismissive. I think it was a proper assessment of the situation. Paul Maurice himself, in the midst of the Stanley Cup run, acknowledged that he's not a great coach because he took a great team and made them average the next
get
year.
Get out of here.
He said it. He joked about himself.
You're misinterpreting that. And you're an untrustworthy news source on anything Paul Maurice and Panthers related. Real quick on Inter Miami, we've got 4 minutes left here, 3 minutes left. We haven't seen Messi play since Copa America. You say it a lot fancier than me. But they're still in great shape, top of the table in the East. They lead MLS in general, first place in pursuit of the supporter shield. They did lose to Columbus as they tried to repeat in this tournament that is made up. The League's Cup couldn't regain the reclaim.
Made up, really.
I'm not so certain. Couldn't reclaim the worst trophy in the history of sports, worst looking trophy in the history of sports. What's the timetable here on Messi, and who's the biggest threat to them for the supporters' shield and for winning the MLS title?
Well, I do think the timeline on Messi, they're always going to be, you know, it's day to day, it's rehab. And I think he was last seen doing individual work. I'd actually be really interested if they push him, because the next game that they play coming out of the League's Cup break is at home against FC Cincinnati. You want to talk about contenders for the supporter shield, for all the other trophies. For me, there are six teams in MLS that can win really anything. And Cincinnati and Columbus are among them. So you just lost to Columbus in a really big game on the road. They actually beat Columbus without Messi in Miami. And then on the 24th, they're playing Cincinnati, the only other team for me in the East that can beat them. And considering I think they're going to want to host all the way through the MLS Cup playoffs, that's a really big game. So I don't know if you can start him in that game. You can definitely maybe think about, depending on how his recovery is going, maybe having him go 10, 15 minutes, come off the bench and provide some kind of impact late. But yeah, they've got a pretty interesting run into the season here. They want to be in first place in the East and first place overall, because beyond winning the Supporter Shield, which is a trophy, you get to host all the way through to the final. You'd be potentially playing an MLS Cup final at home. So I think it's really important to get all the way through. And I think everything, yes, they're doing very well in terms of getting results, and that speaks to the depth that they have. They have a much better squad than they did at this point last year. But they still need Messi to be healthy to hit their ceiling, obviously. And I think they're going to be building everything into being at peak fitness and at peak performance come the end of the regular season. But that being said, this game on August 24th is a big deal. They're going to want to win it to put themselves in a good position.
I have a feeling we'll be celebrating at the indoor Extreme Action Indoor Park once the MLS Cup is over. All right. I literally have like 15 seconds for you here, and I put it at the end of my list of questions, and I want to get it to you. I want one Dolphin hot take from you before we get out of here. One Dolphin hot take. Quickly.
Oh, man.
Hurry up.
You said to me that we talk Dolphins at the end of this. I thought you were going to ask me to name a defensive player, and I would really have
struggled
to do
that. Name a defensive player. Perfect.
Bradley Chubb.
Defensive player.
Bradley Chubb.
One that's not on the pup list.
Jordan Poyer.
That's a new one.
That's it.
For those who don't know, and why would anybody know? Witty found out the name of the Dolphins starting middle linebacker last year, I think during the Titans game.
Yeah, which was in December. Yeah, like it's one of those things where since I've thrown myself into soccer, like my day-to-day intimate knowledge of the Dolphins has declined, and that makes me a little sad. So, hot Dolphins take. I'm really going to upset you with this one. I didn't love the Tua contract. I think they're moving into a stage where it gets harder and harder to keep that level going that they've had the last 2 years. I actually kind of see them taking a little bit of a step back. I know they missed the playoffs last year, but they lost in round one. Sorry, to Kansas City. But I'm kind of seeing a 9-8 this season. I'm not seeing a playoff team. I'm seeing a little bit of a step back. I think it's going to get harder for them to have the success that they've had when they're paying the quarterback, who I don't think helps them win big games, $53 million.
All right. Well, I mean, you just ruined a great interview. You really did.
You asked me for a hot take, so I provided one.
But enough. All right. Really and truly. Enough. Chris Whittingham.
The game performance was not good last year. You can't deny it.
Your performance was good last year. CBS Sports Golazos and MLS on Apple TVs. Chris Whittingham, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us. Thanks to Dan Day. Thanks to Jimmy as well. Krantz's Corner is coming up next on 560 WQAM. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. We will talk to you next time.
You need to need.
That's all, folks.
You need to need. Path, path, pus.
Take care, brush your hair.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.